Anne read for us. I should have said when introducing Anne that she is my wife. And since I didn't say what my name was at the beginning of the service, I am Joe Capolio. And it is my privilege today to bring the word of the Lord to you. Many parents give their children real hope for the future by bequeathing to them some form of inheritance. I think it is right that all of us as parents should aspire to leave something behind for our children and perhaps even for their children. Many people choose to leave money, others a house or houses, cars, land. This is right and proper. God is also a parent, and he too delights to give hope to his children by securing for them an inheritance. Now, not primarily in terms of material possessions, although not excluding them, but something much better, something more enduring, something more satisfying than any material bequest can ever be. And that is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I do want you to think of eternal life not as something that will start way over there beyond death and beyond history. Eternal life is something that was available the moment he rose from the dead. And anyone who enters into this inheritance that God gives, at that moment, whenever that was, that eternal life has been bequeathed to you, and you start enjoying the gift of your inheritance. But the full glory of what that is like, we won't know until either we pass on into glory or Christ returns and he transforms us, because that's part of the deal. It's part of that inheritance. So it's not something that may be out there. It is a reality now that all of us can enter into. The trouble with material inheritances, sadly, is that they often promise much. They often promise to give us real hope, but sometimes they fail. Many people pin their hopes on expected or unexpected blessings coming from a wealthy relative who dies and leaves behind perhaps a fat bank balance. As you will know, fat bank balances can easily be eroded by a whole variety of unforeseeable things. Inflation, devaluation of currencies, credit crunch, recession, depression, perhaps even the collapse of banking system. You think of the people of Ukraine. One day everything was running along swiftly. They're able to go to their bank accounts and withdraw money, pay for their children's education. And then suddenly these bombs start falling from the sky. The banks shut down. and they just have nowhere to turn. Life comes to an end, and some of them have to run, carrying just what they are standing in. These nasty things of experience often come in and they deprive us of the complete joy of what we might have inherited. Big mansions, when they are passed on, also attract the interest of the tax man or woman. And it's not just the tax man or woman. That often means that the heir has to sell the inheritance in order to pay the tax man. But it's not only that. We love Temple Newsom. I take my four-year-old there, and we enter into this huge jungle, it seems to him. I can hardly crawl under the branches, for those who know the rhododendrons there. But we go in there. One day we hope to meet the Gruffalo himself or his child. But we love it. That massive mansion was built in 1520. And it was owned by a gentleman called Lord Darcy. But in 1537, he annoyed Henry VIII, King Henry VIII, who chopped off his head. And he took that mansion and gave it to a relative of his. So those people in that family who had hoped that this was their inheritance in perpetuity suddenly found, because of the greed of a madman who happened to be a king, that they couldn't do that. And many other such things happen to spoil what had promised to be a real lifeline. I grew up in colonial Africa, in what was then Northern Rhodesia, now Zambia. And as black people, ruled by these people from abroad, we longed for the day when we would grasp in our own hands the future, the fortunes of our own God-given inheritance, our land. And we did. For us, it was 1964. But as we look at the last 60 years of African history, we find that for many, these years have proved to be an illusion, a pipe dream, has bred frustration, poverty, civil war, and often proved extremely dangerous. Inheritances do not deliver everything they promise. And even if one is not deprived of their earthly inheritance by any of these common nasty experiences of life, premature death, when it comes, will rob a person of the enjoyment of their heritage. The Apostle Peter says, and I misquote him here, that's 1 Peter 1 verse 4, he says, these earthly inheritances will perish, they will spoil, and they will fade. And Jesus essentially made the same point when he said, in the words with which we started this service, do not store up treasure on earth where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. I'm not trying to discourage you from doing your very best to provide for your children and their children. Do that. It's important. But be aware that it doesn't always deliver. God's inheritance, which Peter speaks about here in that 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance. And now to quote him correctly, an inheritance that cannot perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. God's inheritance for you, for me, for everybody is qualitatively different. It is a makeover of all that we have known as the human condition. It will transform life from being a dead-end existence destined to end in disappointment and grief in a coffin in a hole in the ground, to a glorious real life which transcends the natural weaknesses and defects of human life. That is the life that God offers us in Christ. And that is the reason that Jesus went to the cross, that he might secure that life for you and for me. So what kind of inheritance is this that Peter calls the new birth? In the Old Testament, the word inheritance often simply spoke of land, the land of Israel. Joshua had diligently carved it up and given every family a plot of land. And for Jews, that land is precious. That land is their inheritance. But even in the Old Testament, we begin to see a move away from focusing on land, initially to focusing on God. And actually, we see this with the tribe of Levi. The Levites were not given their own plots of land. But God said to them, I am your inheritance. In other words, trust me, and I will do for you everything these other tribes will do for themselves through the land which they will acquire. So God becomes Levi's inheritance. Increasingly, the Psalms look to that relationship with God and describe that as their inheritance. And sometimes also they speak of the Word of God itself as part of that inheritance. In the New Testament, the word is developed. We read, for example, as we're reading here, it is new birth. We are born into this inheritance through new birth. As the rich young ruler said, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? It is entry into the kingdom of God. As Paul says in Romans 8:17, it is glory with Christ. It is immortality, 1 Corinthians 15:50. It is the kingdom of Christ, Ephesians 5:5. In Jesus Christ, God gives to all who have received the new birth the glories of heaven, including the ultimate removal of sin and all its effects. This is the promised inheritance that you and me, all of us, can and will inherit from God. As we have already seen, this is based on the death of Christ. Just as in ordinary inheritances, the wills don't become active until the benefactor has died. So also with us, the benefactor needed to die. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God gave to die in our place and for us. It was this death of Jesus Christ that opened the way for us to enter into that inheritance that God had prepared for us in eternity. and especially his rising from the dead. But how secure, how can I know that nasty things will not get in the way and deprive you of this inheritance? Inheritance in Christ is more real than money. It is more real than gold. It is even more real than life as we know it. It is truly secure. As Peter says here, it cannot decay, it's imperishable. It cannot spoil, it is indestructible. It can never fade away, it does not lose its shine or its value. Apart from that, it is guarded by God in heaven for you. Death cannot cheat a person out of this inheritance. In fact, death simply confirms that inheritance. The power of God will keep both the inheritance and the heir secure until the time is right for Christ to appear. When that time comes, the heir and the inheritance will be united forever. That's what Peter says in verse 5. He says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And in verse 9, he repeats the same thought. So this is yours to keep. It is a glorious inheritance which will never fade. Inheritance, as I've indicated, can and do disappoint us, but not this one. It is secured by God. So how do I enter into this inheritance? For me, it was when I was 19, I had been I'd grown up in a Christian family. I had entered service of the church. I was a deacon in our church, and I was very active in ministry. And then, unfortunately, a poor man was knocked down off his motorcycle, and he died. Like many young men, I used to ride a motorcycle then. I loved motorcycles until my wife came along, until the children came along, my wife says, no more. And so that was the end of that. But this poor man died. And a friend of mine said to me, if you're the one who had died in that road traffic accident, would you have gone to heaven to be with Jesus? It was one of those questions that once asked doesn't lose its power or impact. I didn't have the connections between dying, heaven, and Jesus. Whether I just lacked assurance or actually there weren't any connections, although I was deeply involved in church life, I'm not quite sure. But what I do know is that shortly after that, I sat through a Bible study in which it was made very clear that Christ came on earth to die in my place because of my sin, and to die for me. And that in order to appropriate the benefits of what he did, I needed to confess my sins and my sinfulness to him, and to acknowledge that having thrown myself into Christian work, when this had not been put in place, was worse than putting the cart before the horse. And so, having heard that and struggled with it for about 2 weeks, I knelt beside my bed and say, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive my sin and come into my heart. That was 1971. That's when I entered into this inheritance. And I look forward to the day when I will see the full glory of what God has prepared, not just for me, but for all of us. What a day that will be, when we will realize the fullest potential that God has intended for all of us in His plans. So if you haven't already entered into this inheritance, take the opportunity now to do so. And whether you talk to me or any of the leaders of the church after this meeting, or at some other time, phone up the church office and ask to speak to someone, and make sure that this is in place. Do not make the mistake I made of being active in church but having missed the whole point of what that is like. Receive the greatest inheritance you can ever hope for. And if you already have done that, then shout it from the rooftops and tell everybody about it, because we all need it. It's the one inheritance that never fades, never spoils, will never be destroyed. It's God's free gift to you. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing together, In Christ Alone.